Praise God. Got any victorious people in here tonight? We got the victory.
Amen.
Just a reminder. We win. Amen. We win. Amen. Glory.
Amen. Sometimes it may look like victory's way out there, but we're winners. Amen. Through Christ, we can do all things. Anybody else want to give a word of praise tonight? This is good. This is very encouraging.
Sure does. Man, praise God. I believe that. I believe that. God is that all-seeing eye. Amen. Even when we don't think He's watching over us, His all-seeing eye is seeing us and taking care of us. Sometimes when we think we're out on a limb, He's holding up the limb. Sometimes we think that we're at the end of the rope. He's right there ready to catch us should we fall. I was thinking as I was playing for Karen singing, He loves me as small as I am. He picks me up. He dusts me off. He puts me on the road again. And then that wonderful. And I was thinking many, many years ago when Karen was probably not even as old as Trey is, she wanted one of these scooters. And it wasn't the motorized kind. It was just the old-fashioned scooter with the handlebars and you know, it's got the wheels on it, and you just kind of coast. And we were up at my mom and dad's house, and they live on an incline, so there's a pretty good paved driveway there. So she was kind of scooting along and just kind of going across the driveway and down into the grass that way. And, you know, she was getting pretty brave. And so she decided that she would go down the driveway. And she began to get faster and faster and faster. And by this time, I'm seeing that it probably going to end up pretty bad, so I'm running behind her trying to catch her, and I'm hollering at her, get off the driveway, go into the grass. So Dad's lake was over. She gets down almost about three-quarters of the way down the driveway, and she does veer off, but there is a valley there. And she and the scooter go airborne right into the valley, and the scooter's going that way, and she's going that way. You never seen something that looks like it's in slow motion, you know. She's just kind of eating that grass up, and I'm panicking, you know, and I run down and I grab her, and she's just panicking too, you know, but she wasn't hurt at all, and I was thinking about that, you know. We pick her up, we dust her off, we tell her it's going to be all right, you know. Needless to say, we probably didn't ride the scooter again for a long, long time, but I was thinking about that, and you know, God does this. Sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves. We get a little too fast. Think we can handle it down the fast lane. And first thing you know, Lord, you're going to have to pick me up again because I done kind of got out and I need your help. But God is always there for us, isn't He? Amen. I was thinking about the testimonies tonight, how that we're so blessed and so fortunate to know that we have that all-seeing eye, that we have that Spirit that is with us wherever we go. Whatever we face, amen, we know that God is there with us. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the Old Testament book of Exodus. Into the 32nd chapter. Chapter number 32 of the book of Exodus. I don't want to read the first 8 verses in the book of Exodus tonight as we, with the Lord's help and the anointing, maybe bring the message that God has had on our heart tonight. Again, Exodus chapter 32, beginning with verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. In other words, we don't know where he is. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool,
after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we do love and thank you, God, that you are very present, God, that with us during all times of our life. We're so thankful for that relationship through your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you tonight to bless this congregation, Lord, who is gathered here tonight, God, with a hunger in our souls, God, that we'll be fed by your word and by your will. Father, I ask that you will anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, to speak that you would have us to hear, God, that it might produce growth and edification into our life and into our spirit. We do remember those who are sick. Many are suffering. Many are afflicted. And Father, we pray your healing hand of touch would touch and make them whole, Father, even as we pray now. Let them feel your virtue, your power. And Father, again, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Tonight I'm going to attempt to try to share with you what the Lord has been dealing with me, I guess the better part of a week, at least this week. And I was going to use that as a lesson text or a title, but I think I'm going to use something else as the title and maybe make reference to what the Lord basically had laid on my heart. It goes hand in hand with this particular account of Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel. How many remembers and knows that the children of Israel at this time have been freed from 430 years of Egyptian bondage, and you know, the whole ordeal that it took, and we're not going to get into all of that tonight, but all the plagues that had to be sent on the nation of Egypt in order to let the children of Israel go free. And now they're on their wilderness trek, and they're going and headed to Canaan land, the land, the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham and his seed. And it's so similar to our struggle and our journey in life. You know, a lot of people have the misconception that when they're born again and saved, that all of their troubles and all of their trials are behind them and they'll never face any adversity or any persecution or sickness or affliction at all. But I don't read that in the Bible. I read that that the Lord will not put more on us than we're able to bear. I read that he will not forsake us, but he will always go with us even unto the end. But even through many diverse trials and tribulations and problems and things that we encounter, we know that we have an ever-present help through God. And he is a very, very present help, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, but will be there for us. Well, the children of Israel, they thought that maybe it was just going to be an easy trek through the wilderness, and they would be pretty home free without any too many detours and all. But that was not the case, we find out. Moses now has gone up to God to receive the commandments, and you know, you can't hurry God. How many knows that? How many's tried that? not too much success. We put timelines on our prayers. We put expectations. We put limits. And when we ought to just say, Lord, here it is. You know, I told you about the prayer that was prayed by this massive congregation, and the speaker got up and he prayed, Father, thy will be done. Nothing more, nothing less. And he sat down, and that was the prayer. What a simplistic prayer that is, but what a very profound prayer that is too. If we could just learn to pray, God, thy will. And he already knows about our sickness. He already knows about our problems. He already knows about the situations that we're facing, the turmoil. There's no secret to God. But say, Lord, you know what? I'm at a point in my life. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I'm just releasing it unto you. And by faith, I'm going to claim the victory. Amen. And I'm going to walk in victory. Amen. And I'm going to walk. You know, the thing about it, so many times our countenance tells us or tells others whether we got victory or not. Does this look like a victorious person? You know, if I walk in like that, what y'all going to say? What's wrong with Brother Eddie? Amen. But if I'm walking in like this, regardless of what kind of day I've had, what kind of week I've had, smiling and glorifying and praising God, you're going to say, Brother Eddie, he don't ever have no problems, no troubles or trials. Oh, he's always so happy. No. I just know that we're living in victory. Amen. Regardless of what you're facing, you're still living and operating in victory. And I thank God for that. But Moses was receiving from God. And I want to entitle this tonight, The Danger. Everybody say danger. Now, if I say danger, does that alert anybody? I mean, if we were standing on the side of the street and I said danger, would there be a reaction? You'd look around, wouldn't you? You probably, what's somebody? Is the train coming? You know, what is it? You know, a danger. But the danger of appeasement. The danger of appeasement. Appeasement sounds so polite. Appeasement sounds so compromising. Appeasement sounds so easy to the palate because we think in appeasing, we're getting along with whoever we're in differences of opinion or controversy or altercation or whatever, if we can just appease the matter. But let me tell you something. Satan and his demonic spirits do not understand appeasement. They will take advantage of appeasement. How many knows that we have authority in the name of Jesus? We have authority through the power that God has given us. He said, I will give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Great power. Power so many times that we fail to use. We've got it. It's in there. Amen. But sometimes we don't really exercise that power that he's given us. But the danger of appeasement. Appease means to pacify or satisfy by making concessions. Now, pacifiers are nice. They're good for the intended purpose. But how many knows there's a time in our life when we need to put the pacifiers aside? Well, don't we? We don't want to see any adults walking around with a pacifier in their mouth. You know, it's good for the purpose that it's intended for. But pacifying or satisfying by making concessions. What that basically is backing up. And these concessions that are made sometimes will cause us, cause the church, cause those that are born again to maybe disregard the statutes, the precepts that God has ordained in His book and for us to follow. How many knows there's things in there that we should be doing? That we are to give, not suggestions, but commandments. And so it was with the children of Israel. God gave them explicit direction. God gave them and was giving them, Moses at the very time of this situation, giving them the laws that they should and should not do. But they became impatient. Now, we don't have any problems in that in the world today, do we? Nobody blows their horn behind you because you didn't take off fast enough when the light turned green. Nobody ever rides your bumper when you're going the speed limit. Or, you know, I make it a habit to go over the speed limit. If you don't, you're going to get run over, basically. So I go a little bit over the speed limit, but then they want to get on behind me and push me, you know. So we know the impatience of people today. The children of Israel grew very impatient. Isn't it amazing that the one person who was instrumental in God using him mightily to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, 430 years of bondage and slavery, and buddy, what a hero he was now, but look how fast they threw him under the bus when things didn't go their way, when they began to be impatient. So they came to Aaron. They said, we don't know about Moses. He may be gone. He may be skipped the country. We have no idea where he is. He probably left us and we're on our own now. He's probably not coming back. So, you know, we need to get, and they'd say, up, make us some gods. Make us something we can feel. Make us something we can see. Something we can identify with. Now, you got to understand, the children of Israel, of the 430 years of bondage, what was they, you know, what was their environment? The Egyptian pagan gods. So that was the kind of gods they were used to.
It was only later on, amen, after they entered into the land of Canaan, that they began to be obedient and submissive to the laws of God. And after God had brought them through and give them that glorious land, then they began to understand. But for 430 years, they didn't know anything else except these foreign gods. So they wanted that. They wanted their freedom. Come on. They wanted to be blessed by God. They wanted to be led by God, but they wanted to kind of go back to these paganistic gods. So they came to Aaron, and they said, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us," because we don't know about Moses. We don't know where he is, if he's coming back. And here's the thing. Aaron succumbs to their demands. He didn't have to. Now, we're quick to put Aaron down and all, but you got to understand, people in that day and time didn't play. You Bible readers know that. Sometimes if you crossed their path and they didn't like it, you know, they'd chop your head off. They'd kill you. And maybe he was fearful of his life. He could have. You know, there's a song that says, he could have, should have, would have, all that kind of. If he's thinking about it, he could say, no, let's wait. Let's wait till the man of God gets back. Let's be a little more patient. God is dealing with him now. Let's don't hurry God. Let's wait until the leader comes back. We'll talk it over with him, and we'll see then what God would have us to do. But no, Aaron, for some reason, is either overcome or afraid, or maybe he's just an appeaser, which is just as dangerous as having the persuasion of going along with the crowd. Because he's not making a stand. And there's a motive to my madness here, if you'll bear with me. We can't be like Aaron in our relationship with God. It's one thing to be nice to people, to be humble to people, but we can't appease the world. There's too many leaders today that are trying to appease the majority, appease the world. We got to stand for what is right. The Bible is right. I don't have to back up or apologize for the Word of God. I didn't write it, but I sure want to obey it. Amen? How about you? And we don't have to apologize for the Word. We need to proclaim the Word as the Bible has it written for us to adhere to and to follow. But for whatever reason, Aaron decides that he's going to try to appease the crowd, to kind of ease the tension a little bit. And some scholars made a point that I had never thought about. Have you ever been pressed with somebody, maybe your children, or Brother Jim was telling me about Don, who was talking about, he was having some work done at on his truck, and one of the young salesmen came out and said, you know, let me make you a real good deal on a new one, if I can get this right. And Don said, I'll do that on one reason or one circumstance. If you can get me a truck with everything that I want on it and get it delivered exactly like I want it, then I'll trade trucks. Guys, man, we got it. Oh, yeah, I'll be glad to do it. He said, I want crank windows, rubber mats. What else was it? None of the technology stuff. Don't want the airbags. I don't want this. I don't want all of that. And the guy's looking at him and said, well, sir, they don't make them anymore. They quit making them years ago. But he was very precise, basically, in what he wanted. But the guy said, yeah, we can do that. You know what? Aaron says, bring me your earrings. Let's think about this. 430 years of Egyptian bondage, slavery, working from the sun up till the sun down with no pay. Where did this gold come from? Where did this jewelry come from? How many Bible readers remember that when all the plagues had hit Egypt and all the terrible things were happening, finally Pharaoh and finally the death of the firstborn in all of Egypt, and God got his message and his point across, and Pharaoh says, get out of here and take the children of Israel with you. And God said, go to your neighbors, you remember, and ask them for those treasures and rich. And they did. The Egyptians were so glad to get rid of them. They were giving them gold. They were giving them jewels. They were giving them earrings. They were giving them all kind of things. And think about that. God has a purpose for everything. These people had nothing except the clothes on their back and what mere little things that they could amass during this 430 years of slavery. But now they had this wealth and this riches and all, and these blessings that basically God had provided for them. And look, they could have helped them in the new land, but look, here's the thing about it. They threw it all into the melting pot. And the melting pot is what God checked me with this week. I wasn't even thinking about this scripture. I wasn't even thinking about this story. God began to deal with me about the great melting pot in the world today. Share with me and think with me. How many morals have been thrown into this melting pot? How many righteous things have been thrown into this melting pot? Blessings that God has blessed us and helped us and just thrown into this boiling melting pot. And that's what had to be happened, you know. But before I get to that, I want to make the point. What maybe Aaron was thinking. This is what some Bibles. I'm not saying this is what he was thinking. I don't know. I couldn't read his mind. I don't know what persuaded him to do that. Maybe he wasn't as close to God as he needed to be. How many knows that when we're not as close to God as we need to be, sometimes we don't make good decisions? Oh, me. Come on. When we're really prayed up and walking in the righteousness of God, it's a lot easier to make the decisions that God would have us to do. Whatever the reason was. But some Bible scholars said Aaron probably thought, this is where my train of thought was a while ago before I got sidelined, was that if he made such a request on them that they would deny it and wouldn't do it. Give me your gold. Give me your earrings. Give me all the treasures that you have just received in Egypt. He thought he was asking such a high price that they wouldn't do it. But to his amazement, or to his frustration or whatever, they said, gladly, we'll do that. Well, they brought it all to him. The earrings and the wives, the gold, the bracelets, everything. And they melted it down. And then he fashioned it into the looks of a calf. The golden calf that you hear so much about. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. But somehow, he was persuaded in an act of appeasement. Appeasement doesn't save folks. Appeasement doesn't convict folks. Appeasement didn't get me to the altar. Appeasement didn't get me realizing that I needed a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what did get me to the altar. Conviction. Amen. The overpowering, convicting Word of God let me know that I was in a sinful state. I was a sinner and had to come, amen, to a repentive and broken and contrite spirit with the Lord to take away that lifestyle. Appeasement wouldn't have done it. Can I say today I'm worried that many, let's be careful here, many beliefs, many denominations are trying to appease the congregations and appease the world to get them into the church and not into the church. Come on. Into the building and not into the family of God. Appeasement is dangerous. History tells us appeasement is dangerous. The enemy respects power. The enemy respects authority. He doesn't expect or doesn't respect when we back up and we kind of mealy-mouthed about being born again. Can I tell you, sometimes the church is almost apologetic when we tell folks, you need to be saved. Come on, I had people tell me, boy, you need to be saved. You're going to hell. Now, that's kind of abrasive there, but you know what? It got my attention. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn in that lake of fire. Man, this, you just keep doing what you want to do, and God's a loving God, and God will forgive everything. Yes, He will, and He is. Amen, but you got to make the choice. Appeasement is dangerous. Aaron, appeasement is dangerous. Could you not see? Could you not understand what this little act that you've allowed to happen, amen, would do? And God had to stop his conversation with Moses and said, you better get back down there. The people that you led out of Egyptian bondage, they're a stiff-necked people. And they're rebelling, and what was his words he said here? He said, they have turned aside quickly out of the way. My Lord. Give me saints of God who know how to persevere. Give me saints of God that don't turn out of the way quickly because of the first obstacle or the first problem or the first trial. Amen. Sister Karen was talking about it. We got to have focus on victory. Amen. Whatever we're going through, whatever its situation is, victory's just around the road, just around the corner. Because victory is in Jesus. Amen. And they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Imagine that. Moses is in conversation and dialogue with God, and he's receiving and he's receiving and he's receiving, and then God has to tell him what the people have done. They turned away quickly because they wanted something they could touch, something they could feel. And I begin to think about this melting pot. From my limited knowledge of the ability to take steel or precious metals and burn away the impurities. Well, there's a message right there, but we're not really going there. Because sometimes we have to go through the fiery furnace to burn away all of the impurities for that precious mineral, that Holy Spirit, to come where it needs to be, that golden thing that arises out of all of that burning and that heat. He went. But I thought about that, and I thought about how Edwin evidently was overseeing that, and how people just gladly gave up what little that they had. They just throwed it in the big melting fire, the great big melting pit that they had. And they had to do it for him to be able to form and fashion it. And I said, God, are you trying to get my attention? Help me to see what you're talking about. And I saw this big symbolic melting pit, the burning pit, that so many people today have discarded blessing after blessing. And, you know, we've said it time and time again, things that 10, 15, 20 years ago was devastating and obnoxious and just an abomination are freely accepted today. Whether it's accepted or not, we just kind of turn our head to it and, well, as long as it don't affect me, it does affect us. It's called appeasement. What is the old saying? Daddy used to say, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. There's something to that saying, because if you appease him or the world, and I think apologetically, that's what the church world has done. We've tried to water down the word. We've tried to make it palatable to the world in order to try to bring them in to a relationship with the Lord. And it's not working real good. It's not working real good. Because when we slack up on our walk, when we slack up and to try to make it or water it down a little bit for them. You know, I keep referring to when the message came to me, it was not watered down. It was not said, oh, that's too strong for this congregation. They were all kind of folks in that congregation, young people and older people too. But when the pastor laid the hammer down, I mean, it came down. He didn't back up. He didn't back up to the word. He didn't apologize for the word. He didn't try to appease. He didn't try to call this and that. But he preached what the word is. And you know what? I'm not saying be offensive. I'm not saying be derogatory or hateful. No, that's not what it is. Listen, if the word can't convict you, I can't. I could be as mean as everything and not convict you, but that's not my point. I want to present the word of God in as much of a loving spirit as I possibly can, but not back up to the word of God and not say, you know, well, just live your life anyway and do anything. Basically, that's what Aaron was saying. Oh, we'll just do whatever what you want to do. You know, in my generation, there was a comedian who came up with a saying, well, you know, the devil made me do it. In other words, that's an excuse. The devil made me do it. You know, from what I read, the devil doesn't have that much power. He's got power. But basically, his power is more of a suggestive power. He only suggests it, and then we're willing to do it. I don't think he actually grabs us up and makes us do it. I don't find that. But his persuasiveness and his power of placing it into our minds causes it to look so alluring. He didn't take Eve and shove that fruit down her throat, did he not? No, he made it look so tantalizing. And that's what the world does today. And I'm merely saying, church, appeasement there is a danger in appeasement. The blessings that went into a melting pot, and I thought about it. They were so cherished and so thankful for those golden things that they had or whatever, where they wore them or whether they was going to sell them or use them for money, but they willingly throwed all those things away. You know what I've heard, and it's really, and there may be some truth to it. I'm not really saying that, but it just doesn't sound good. People say, well, I've heard that all my life, but you don't have to do that. You know, what you're doing, you're stepping all over somebody's convictions when you're saying that. If God hasn't convicted you of it, doesn't mean that he hadn't convicted somebody else to do that. And if they're submissive and obedient unto the Lord, then praise God for that. Amen? But don't appease it. Don't appease, well, everybody's doing it. That don't make it right, folks. The majority may rule, but the majority don't always know what's best. Amen? Thank God. You know, they call us the silent minority. Why is that? Because we sit back and become silent. I'm talking about the church world now. Talk about this. Well, you know how they are, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. That doesn't make it right. We can't appease it. You know, and here's how easy it is. You'll be in a conversation with four or five people around where you work or whatever, and they're saying this kind of stuff, and then they'll say to you, what do you think about it? Oh, I just really don't know. Yes, you do. But you've appeased them. You haven't spoke your heart. You know why? Because we don't want to be blackballed. We don't be sticking out like a sore thumb. We don't say, well, that holier than thou person or that. But you know what? Somebody's got to make a stand. Somebody made a stand for me. Somebody said, no, you can't go down that road. You can't do those things. You can't live like that. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's not appeasement. That's preaching the Word of God with love and with an open hand and an open heart. And hopefully everybody knows that this church has an open door policy. Amen. We want our doors open to whoever will come into the Word of God and the power of God. We're talking to about tonight because, you know, basically, you know, we as a church, we've waited for the sinners to come into the church. Well, if we can ever get them here, we get them saved. Have you noticed they're not coming? not too many sinners are freely coming to church. So we said what we ought to do is make the church mobile. Put it on wheels and go out. You know, we said that kind of jokingly, but you know what? And when you go, you got to go with a message that's not appeasing. And that's what's happened in our world today. So many of our leaders... I do not want to get political. I promise I do not want to get political, but it's such a current event. We got so many world leaders that'll tell you whatever you want to hear. If you'll just vote for them or vote for me or, you know, make me your king, make me your leader. What they'll tell you and promise you anything and everything. But we as a church, and I'm not talking about First Pentecostal here, I'm talking about the body of Christ, the born-again believers. We can't take that message and win folks. You can't take that message and just, oh, you can do this and you can do that and live anyway and whatever. God will understand. God loves you. That's appeasing, folks, and that's dangerous. We see the effects of that in the world today. Let's don't allow it to get into the church. Let's don't allow it to get into our testimony and into our witnessing. Amen? Again, don't make it any harder than it already is. Now, we've seen that, too. We've seen a lot of people make it too difficult, nobody could ever get to heaven. But let's understand about God's grace and His mercy and His overwhelming ability to forgive. I stand before you tonight as an example of God's great forgiving power. Thank God that He's a forgiver. Somebody said, thank God He's a God of second chances too. Amen. Amen. I needed that second chance. And I'm so glad, amen, that God loves us and wants us to be born again and wants us to live for Him. But again, let's don't give space. Let's don't give victory or give up our victory where God has already given us victory. Let's don't give it an inch to the devil, because again, he's not satisfied with that. He'll take and take and take. Amen. God bless you. I love you from the depths of my heart. Let's carry on. Amen. For the Lord. Live for the Lord. You know, what's the saying? Work for the Lord like you got an eternity. Live for the Lord like we're going home tonight. Amen. And if you knew that this precise time that God was going to split those eastern skies and come back, I guarantee you we'd want to be as close to the Lord as we possibly can. Live your life that way. Amen. So that when that time comes, we'll all go to heaven, be in a glorified place. Amen. God bless you. We love you, each and every one of you. Would you stand? This altar is open. If you need prayer tonight, if you want to come, certainly the elders of the church will gather around you and pray. If you have a sickness, an affliction, or whatever, if you just need a touch from the Lord, please come and we'll pray for you tonight before we dismiss.